We're spending most of this first hour talking about Congress and who will represent the 4th Congressional District of Oregon after the November election. Peter DeFazio of Springfield, you just heard, a Democrat, is the current representative. He first won election in 1986. For the fourth consecutive election, the name of the Republican on the ballot in District 4 is Art Robinson, scientist and former chair of the Oregon Republican Party. We turn to Art Robinson now from Cave Junction. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Pleasure to be with you.
So, first of all, didn't you say last time you weren't going to run after the third time?
No, I didn't. I never said that. Mm-hmm. We will represent the Republicans of the 4th District as long as they want me to. We need to save our constitutional republic, and we'll all keep fighting for that.
Okay, so what needs saving? Let's start there with the general stuff.
Well, there's quite a lot. The congressman was mentioning the forest plan. The forest industry in Southern District 4 is basically destroyed. That's part of the reason that I won all four of the rural counties of District 4, all three elections. Now, the congressman talks about the fact that the ONC money has now not been budgeted by the federal government. The solution to this during his 30 years of office was to return access to the forests to our lumber industry. But the last mill in Josephine County has closed. He hasn't worked to restore the forest industry. What he's done is to get the counties some welfare money for the counties, and now the federal government, due to overspending by the Democrats, is broke, and it's becoming harder and harder to get that welfare money. We should have returned access to the forests as the U.S. government contracted for, not tried to get welfare money for the counties. The second thing, he talked about the question of black voters' prejudice against black people. You know, the only schools in this country that are under direct federal control under the Constitution are the schools of Washington, D.C. 67% of the students in those schools are African-American, 17% are Hispanic. If they're minority schools. There are 50,000 students. And they're the worst schools in the country. 40% don't graduate. The others read at a fifth grade level when they leave high school. And the people, the taxpayers, pay $450,000 a year per 30-student classroom.
Okay, hold that thought. We need to take a break. Art Robinson is our guest in the exchange, running for Congress in Oregon Congressional District 4. We'll come back and talk more with him and take phone calls and emails from you in a minute five here on the Jefferson Exchange. K36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We're spending this hour talking about the race for Oregon Congressional District 4, currently held by Peter DeFazio of Springfield, a Democrat, and he's been in the office since the election of 1986. For the fourth consecutive election, Art Robinson, Republican of Cave Junction, is running against Congressman DeFazio. You can join Art Robinson and ask questions about his views and positions, and join the conversation at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You're going off on Washington, D.C. schools.
Yes, those schools.
I mean, they are poverty-ridden schools, though.
Well, the schools are spending about 50% more than the national average, $450,000 per year for a 30-student classroom. But the problem is the bureaucratized unions that control those schools have basically destroyed them, regardless of the good teachers. And the Congress, recognizing this a few years ago, tried to make some improvements, merit pay for teachers, charter schools, vouchers. Quite a bit was on the agenda. And some of it passed, and the schools are getting a little better. But Mr. DeFazio voted against every one of those changes because his education policy is to please the unions so they'll help him at election time. He voted against those kids in D.C. I think those 50,000 students deserve the best education they can get, and you shouldn't play politics with their educations. The third thing about education is college costs. Now, you were just talking with him about loans. College costs are running wild. I attended Caltech, the best science school in our country, and was one of the most expensive. And at the time I did, men who couldn't pay their way just worked their way through college. College costs were very low. Today, college costs have outstripped inflation threefold. And this is partly, in large part, because the colleges have been bureaucratized in the same way that the government's been bureaucratized, the same way that these progressive politicians like Mr. DeFazio have been affecting all the other institutions in our country. So college costs have run wild, and the politicians say, well, that's okay, we'll loan you some money. So the students, and of course you have to do something, the students can't afford to go to school. I talked to a student recently, just gotten out of Oregon State, the poli-sci major, had $68,000 in debt. He wanted to go on to school, but he couldn't. He had to go to work to try to pay that debt. The solution to this is to stop turning the control of this country over to progressive leftists, bureaucrats and politicos and unions, the ones that keep Mr. DeFazio in office, and return to reasonable free enterprise practices. It should not be necessary to make debtors out of all of our students in order for them to get a decent college education. And instead of fixing the underlying problem, politicians like Mr. DeFazio just want to say, well, we'll loan you some money. So when you get out of school, you're deep in debt. And then, of course, that has a political benefit because they start saying, well, you had to borrow all this money, but maybe we'll let a little of the debt go or we'll make it easier for you to pay it. That's ridiculous. They've enslaved these students to debt before they ever get out of school and then play politics with it. This is not the way our education system should be run.
You blame the left for the increase in college costs. Yeah. In the state of Oregon, certainly in public higher education, the increased costs can be traced to lessening state support over the years, as the state has been required by ballot Measure 5 to increase support for K-12 schools.
Well,
it was within the state sort of thing. I don't know that you can actually blame that on one wing of any party.
Well, I'm not blaming a party. I'm blaming a political movement. Consider the average schools. U.S. In D.C., it's 450,000 per student classroom, 30 student classroom for 1 year. Across the country, it's 300,000. In Portland, it's 360,000. Now, just think what would happen if you gave that 360,000 to one of our great teachers and said, hey, would you please teach 30 students for 9 months? She could raise her salary, hire an assistant, rent a room, and she still have half the money. The problem is that, and increasingly in D.C., a vast majority, and most of our schools about half, of the money goes to people who don't teach. It goes to bureaucrats. It goes to union members. It goes to all this thing that's been piled on top of the schools. When I went to school, our K-12 schools, American schools were the best in the world, bar none. Terrific. I got a great education that got me into Caltech and gave me a wonderful career in science. Today, our schools are about 40th in the world. They're awful. And that doesn't mean we don't have great teachers. We still do. But over half of that money goes to people who don't teach. And it isn't just a financial problem, because if they took the money and went on vacation, that might be all right. But they stay in the schools and manipulate the schools and keep the teachers from teaching. So you have, on top of great teachers, fine students, good buildings, you have this enormous union bureaucracy that has taken over the schools and generally ruined the quality of American schools.
We can clearly spend all day talking about education.
That's a political problem.
All right.
And it's supported by people like Mr. DeFazio. He didn't do it. He's just one cog in the machine. But it's a general problem in this country. Taxation is a problem. Regulation, which we're talking about here, the regulation of the schools by this massive bureaucracy, taxation, regulation, and the litigation that goes along with it has been killing our industries, driving our industries abroad. That's another problem, but it's the same thing. Gradually, instead of having a country which protects, a government that protects the life, liberty, and property of the citizens, you have a government that looks at the citizens as sort of an enslaved group that must feed it. And as a result, for example, in Oregon, this isn't a federal matter, but in Oregon, state employees earn twice as much on average as private employees. State employees are earning on average $89,000 a year in salaries and benefits. Private employees are at about $49,000. The $49,000 people are paying taxes to pay the $89,000 people. We're gradually being smothered by this elite bureaucracy that the big government, progressive socialist agenda wants to rule the lives of us all.
Art Robinson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the Republican running for Congress in Oregon Congressional District number 4 against Peter DeFazio, who is running for his 16th term. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, good morning. Mr. Robinson, I've read your tract on global warming. It purports to be a scientific tract and concludes that the global warming is simply normal and not harmful. I consider it to have no validity, and I wondered if you wanted to try to defend it.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill.
Well, it's a scientific paper, widely acclaimed. In fact, it was the basis of a petition, a written petition that was signed by 31,000 American engineers and scientists who endorsed the paper, endorsed the idea in the paper, which was that the government should not try to interfere with natural processes that it couldn't affect. This is a widely debated subject. The science behind our work is impeccable, and many of my colleagues who helped me with that are some of America's most accomplished and famous scientists. So 31,000 scientists in America disagree with you, but science is not done by polling. All we did a petition to show that there was no consensus among American scientists, which there isn't. This is an area that's been politicized.
You say not polling, yeah. But 97% of scientists does seem to be a really, fairly solid number.
That's a completely bogus number. Much has been written about that.
All right, so what is the number?
The Wall Street Journal has, no one knows the number. No, there isn't any definitive thing. The only big petition that's been run is ours, and the number is not known. But as to complete my thought, you don't do science by polling. Scientific hypotheses are made, and then you compare them with the experimental data. As long as the data corresponds to the hypothesis, you keep the hypothesis. But there are several very important elements of experimental data which invalidate this particular hypothesis. In science, that means the hypothesis falls and you get a new one. But this hypothesis, which has been disproved, that humans are affecting the climate, has not fallen for political reasons. Politicians, corporatists, a lot of people in the world have found it advantageous to advance their power and money to keep this failed hypothesis alive.
But why? Who gains in dollars from this?
There's huge amounts of money in the so-called carbon exchanges they want to set up. There's huge amounts of money in the alternative energy that they want to use instead of hydrocarbon energy. The bottom line of this thing is there's a hypothesis. We can argue about whether it's right or wrong, but these people want to markedly reduce the hydrocarbon energy of the Earth. There are billions of people in the third world still trying to lift themselves from poverty and tyranny with machines that depend entirely on hydrocarbon energy. The reduction of hydrocarbon energy worldwide is going to cause vast suffering and death for them. In our case, it's going to be an inconvenience and will diminish our lives. But people in other parts of the world will actually die because of the lack of this. You want to talk about 97%? That's about the percentage of the machines in this world that run on hydrocarbon energy. And if you think you're going to replace them with windmills, you're crazy.
All right. Another call here from Greg in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Art Robinson, Republican running for Congressional District 4 in Oregon.
Yes, good morning. I've been a libertarian or Republican for the last 50 years, but I think that one of my biggest concerns is these super PACs and people like Robert Mercer usurping the power from the people, that they really just want to take over and give the billionaires all the money and all the power, and while the American people make peanuts. And that's my comment. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for that. Robert Mercer has been a supporter of yours in the past, hasn't he, Art Robinson?
Yes, he is. He's a patriot, and he helps a lot of Republican candidates. He's helping Donald Trump right now and helped Ted Cruz before that. The fact is, if you read the newspapers, the super PACs are raising a lot more money for Hillary Clinton than they're raising for Donald Trump. The question of how to fund our elections is a difficult one. When I run against Mr. DeFazio, I run against the system. Mr. DeFazio has huge amounts of money to run with. He gets it from the corporatists that he shares our tax money with. He gets it from the unions that he supports. He gets it, well, he gets all kinds of freebies. He sends letters to the voters.
He's got the mailing privileges as a member of Congress.
All the franking privileges from Congress. He gets, if the media helps him, there's a super, you want an independent expenditure. Some of the newspapers are basically independent expenditures in favor of Mr. DeFazio. And the unions in this state, basically the unions run the political process in Oregon, and they have vast amounts of money. So that money comes from all sources. If you want to specifically concentrate on the super PACs, I'm willing to debate the question of whether they should be funding in a major way. But you can't say that these super PACs are particularly favoring the Republicans when right now in the presidential contest, the Democrats have a lot more money like this of this sort than we do.
All right. You mentioned taxation as one of the ways in which you think the federal government oppresses people. What would you change about the current tax system?
Well, the taxes are too high. Donald Trump, for example, wants to reduce the corporate income tax from 35% to 15%.
Does it affect your opinion at all if, in fact, it turns out to be true that Donald Trump has paid no taxes for 18 to 20 years?
I have no idea what taxes he's paid. Somebody's released one of his forms, and that form covered a year when the entire real estate industry of America had collapsed, and real estate people all over the country are losing billions. But I have no idea what taxes he's paid, and neither of you, because the forms haven't been released. The point of your point, however, taxation in Oregon, for example, is a 35% corporate tax, and you tie about a 10% income tax on top of that and so forth. We have about the highest taxes in the nation, but it's true all over the country. Places like Texas that have lower taxes are thriving better than Oregon. But if you take an entrepreneur, you take any enterprise, and you tax away about half of its profits, then those profits are not available to hire new people and so forth. I've walked almost all the main streets in District 4. In Eugene and Corvallis, they are thriving. The merchants are thriving because a huge amount of money comes into the I'm not against that money, of course, but a huge amount of money comes into the two universities. And this raises the economy of those two communities, Benton County and Lane County, and the merchants are thriving. And that is probably a big reason why those are the two counties that keep Mr. DeFazio in office. As soon as you go south of Eugene, walk the main streets. On average, about a fourth of the stores are closed. A lot of the rest have just one entrepreneur in there, the owner. He's trying to keep his business alive, and he can't afford any employees. And generally, south of there, businesses in southern Oregon in District 4 are in terrible trouble. And that's why I'm winning all those counties three elections. The problem is that those entrepreneurs are being taxed to death. And when they're not being taxed, they're being regulated. The government comes in, takes about half their profits, and then makes them spend a lot of the rest of their time filling out forms, permits, this and that. There's governments on their backs all the time. If I walk into an entrepreneur in almost any place in Southern District 4, and I say, hi, Mark Robinson running for Congress. And he says, what are you going to do for me if you're elected? And I say, I'm going to get the government off your back. You can't stop the guy from talking. He just lights up and starts to tell you all the ways the government is on his back. Taxation is a huge part of it. Regulation is a huge part of it. And the taxation and regulation is what you get from the progressive, socialist, liberal state that Mr. DeFazio has helped to build in Washington. He's only one cog in it. We can't blame him for the national problems, but his people, the people that he represents, the kind of political things which they've been forcing on our country, have been gradually taking away the life, liberty, and property of our people. The things that our government was designed to protect, these institutions are gradually being turned into a government that is enslaving the American people, and therefore our industries are moving abroad. Our people are becoming poorer. And in Southern District 4, those effects, plus the specific effect of the destruction of our major industry, our timber industry, which Mr. DeFazio did nothing to protect. What he did was to go and get some welfare money for the counties to replace the money they were losing because of the destruction of their tax base in the lumber industry. Well, this was good politics. Don't fix the problem. I'll get you some money. And then every 2 years, he can say, boy, you better reelect me or your money won't keep coming. That's the way politicians do it. They don't fix problems. They adjust the problems so that they will help in their reelection. And he's an expert at it.
Well, he has been reelected many times. Peter DeFazio is running for reelection in Congressional District 4 in Oregon. Art Robinson, who we've just been talking to, is running against him for the fourth straight election. Art Robinson, take care of yourself, and thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Sure.